Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Lee Kelly is in studio with me. And Lee, as we enter this weekend and as we enter the month of October, which is coming up next week, I feel like right now at least we are in basketball season because on Monday we had the chance, on Tuesday we had the chance to hear from IU players, which was interesting to hear all of their comments, to read all the stories and highlights that followed that press conference availability in Bloomington on Tuesday. And then yesterday, media day, normally you get everybody together in one setting, but yesterday things were split up. Archie Miller, we don't know if it was because of recruiting purposes or otherwise, met with the media yesterday for his annual preseason presser to basically have a brief opening statement and answer questions from the media. So I feel like we're in the middle of a game week. We got players one day, we got coaches one day, Hoosier hysteria is not far away. So definitely this week, or at least the last couple days with all the IU basketball content there's been for us to talk about on this show, and we're going to replay some audio from Archie Miller later in this program, but it really feels like we're in basketball season with everything that's going on and hearing all this excitement and all this talk about the upcoming year.
Yeah, and I'm excited. We talked last year on and off about Jerome Hunter, and he's an unknown quantity. We know what he was in high school. We know he was outstanding, and we had high hopes that he would team with last year's group, including Romeo, to give them a young team, but a team that had a lot of outside scoring and a lot of good things going on, and we know that fell apart. Romeo hurts his thumb. Jerome Hunter has an injury of some type that he didn't even play in 1 minute of any game. So we're hoping for better things, but I think things look good, but you never know. The one thing that worries me is team chemistry, and it always will on any team, any sport, whatever it might be.
Absolutely, and of course, lots of unknowns as well with the roster. I mean, the storylines, and I'm going to talk about Blue Ribbon, the latest college basketball yearbook, and the best, in my opinion, came out here in the headline segment. But all of those previews from the national entities mention basically Indiana is moving forward this year without its best two players from the roster last season, Romeo Langford and Juwan Morgan. So obviously concern there. Obviously you wonder about some of the players that return. You wonder about Trace Jackson Davis. He's had a couple high marks in some of these preseason publications. Is he ready to take over that kind of role and an important role where he could be a factor in the freshman race, a top freshman in the Big Ten Conference? And so a lot of interesting things. I do feel like the Jerome Hunter news earlier this week that he is participating in all basketball activities is just outstanding news. Dustin Dopierak yesterday of The Athletic was with me. He's been all over IU previewing this upcoming year. Very quick to temper those exciting thoughts that you might have because Indiana, in that same short release, followed it up with, you know, still being evaluated by IU Sports Medicine and that sort of thing. And clearly it's a serious issue when you talk about HIPAA and laws and not being able to talk about specific injuries and specific reasons that he missed the entire last season. But I said this yesterday, and even though maybe I need to temper those excitement, because I do feel like he, at least coming into IU, had all sorts of potential, even his freshman year, to be a factor. But that is probably in the preseason, with where this Indiana team is at, the best news that they could get is that he has an opportunity, a clearance, it looks like, if all goes well and he stays healthy and improvements are made, to contribute to this team. And will he ever get back? Who knows, to what he could have been or was coming into college. But clearly he's a player of interest and a player that, had he been healthy last year, and I assume logged some pretty good minutes as a freshman, you know, what type of Jerome Hunter would we be talking about had he not been out for the season coming in this year? So that's obviously good news. A lot of unknowns with the team. But I'm like you. I see these projections, and I wonder if they're correct. Just as probably the flip side, you wonder, is all these projections for Illinois being fourth or fifth in the conference, or is that really the case? I mean, what's so much different about this Illinois team? Maybe they will be great. I have no idea. But I'm not sure that I believe, as somebody that watches a lot of IU basketball, somebody that loves the Big Ten Conference and loves the coaches in the Big Ten Conference and loves recruiting in the Big Ten Conference, especially, you know, Indiana, Purdue, Illinois, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, that central region, that's the Big Ten Conference to me. I'm not sure that I see Indiana 10th or Indiana 11th. I guess maybe I have a little bit more hope than that. And obviously, you hear preseason comments, and you hear that Jerome Hunter's cleared, and you hear this and that, and that Trace Jackson Davis is doing this in the weight room in the offseason. And like all fans, even like us that cover this, you get a little bit excited that, you know, maybe they can best some of these projections that are out there that have them pretty much in the, I don't want to say the graveyard, but the back handful of the Big Ten Conference, no question about it. So a lot to talk about from the last couple days with the players talking to the press and Archie Miller talking to the press yesterday. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, a quick summary of our Hoosier headlines presented by Zaxby's today. Segment two, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall joins us. We'll recap everything that Coach Miller had to say yesterday, and I'm sure some other IU basketball topics as well. Then later in the program, with whatever time we have left, we're going to give you a rundown, the audio itself, of Archie Miller from yesterday talking with the media at Assembly Hall in the press conference room. He was actually on the podium with an opening statement and questions for about 26, 27 minutes. I don't know that we'll fit all that in, but I know a lot of you that maybe haven't had an opportunity to hear that would like to catch up with some of what he had to say. So we'll play that back, or at least a good portion of that back, later in the program, depending on how time goes. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a quick look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. The headlines are presented each day by Zaxby's with three locations in Clark and Floyd counties. We're going to cover so much IU today that for the headlines, I just want to hit on the high school football schedule. We are entering week six of play. It's hard to believe we're weeks away from sectional pairings being announced. We're going to focus on Bloomington North at New Albany as one of our feature games Friday night on the Big X Sports Radio. Also, we'll pay attention and have play-by-play access to Floyd Central. The Highlanders have won four straight. They will be at Columbus East on Friday night as well. This could be a competitive game, perhaps, if you look and maybe are a little concerned about some of the other games in the area this week as far as how competitive they might be, because you've got Jeff at Cathedral. That's another game we'll have some call-in reports from. But I think Holy Cross Providence could be, at least size of school, type of school. I know Holy Cross, I think, was just outside of the rankings in their respective class of football in Kentucky. But when you look at it on paper, I don't get excited about a lot of the matchups other than to see some of the storylines continue a little bit deeper into the season. But if we got to hope for a close game and maybe a battle, perhaps that could be it.
Yeah, absolutely. Some good games coming up. I took a look yesterday at Columbus East, because every time I read an article, it talks about they haven't lost in so many years. Gaddis's record in the Hoosier Hills Conference since he came in 2002, 113-6.
Wow.
Amazing. Just amazing. He is gone. I think the last loss was on Friday the 13th in October of 2006. That was to Bedford. But on the other side of that, Floyd Central has beaten Gaddis two times. That's the most of any school in the Hoosier Hills Conference. So while it's not a lot of wins, it's more than other teams have. So it's amazing.
113-6 in the Hoosier Hills Conference. They've won 86 straight Hoosier Hills Conference games, regular season games, that is, Columbus East has. Last conference loss was October 13th, 2016, to Bedford North Lawrence, 33-30. I remember that night. Two state championships, one state championship runner-up, three semi-state appearances, 10 regional championships. Amazing what Columbus East football is, no question about it. They're unfortunately outside of our immediate area we get to cover, but we do get to see Coach Gaddis and follow Coach Gaddis and talk to him some as they come down to play the Bulldogs, Red Devils, Highlanders, and maybe some others. But what a program, and Floyd Central, probably of the locals, the best prepared this season, it appears, to play the Olympians to a reasonably close game. So the Olympians wax New Albany running clock much of the second half. They wax Jeffersonville running clock much of the second half. Can the Highlanders, it's one of those measuring stick games, really, even if you don't win, can they keep it close? Can they keep, number one, not a running clock at any point in the game? And number two, can they maybe keep it within a touchdown or two of the Olympians? That, to me, will be one of the big headlines to follow on Friday night for Week 6 of high school football. That's the headlines presented each day by Zaxby's. We're going to head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. And also later in the program, we've got audio from yesterday. Archie Miller met with the media for the preseason press conference to talk all about the upcoming 2019-2020 college basketball season, and we'll talk about that coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday program. Lee Kelly is with me in studio, and Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, our guest, to talk IU basketball. And Alex, lots to talk about this week. I told Lee in the first segment, I almost feel like the season is here. We're getting press conferences on a regular basis. We had the players earlier this week. We had the coaches, or I should say Archie Miller, yesterday. So fun to hear all about this IU team for the upcoming season. And I really felt like hearing from some of the players, especially some of the returning players, that we got some pretty interesting stuff and a look in somewhat to what they've been working on in the offseason and maybe what some of the priorities are for the upcoming year, didn't you?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, there's obviously certain guys are a little bit more talkative and revealing than others. You know, I thought Devontae Green and Joey Brunk had some interesting things to say, but, you know, it's, you know, I take a lot of what's said in the preseason with a bit of a grain of salt because, you know, you have this time of year, everyone's obviously excited about the season coming up and everyone had a great off season. According to, you know, you'll go around the country. Every coach likes their team. Everyone thinks that everyone had a great off season and there's a lot of excitement, but you know, it's definitely an exciting time of year with having the media day this week and then Big Ten media day next week. And obviously Hoosier Hysteria next Saturday. I think you guys chance to learn a couple of things here in these next couple of weeks about this team and then hopefully headed into the start of the regular season. You know, it's going to be, to me, just fascinating to see what Indiana's able to get out of Jerome Hunter. I think that's a lot of the potential success this season hinges on how effective he's going to be able to be, how big of a part of this team he's going to be.
Alex, was there any one point, either with the players or with Archie, that surprised you a little bit? Not necessarily shocking, but something that came out that you weren't expecting?
Not necessarily. You know, I think the one thing that kind of, and this is nothing against Devontae Green because I think he had a terrific end to his season last year, but, you know, I think one of the things that Archie said yesterday that it's kind of, you know, validation for kind of where Indiana's being picked in the preseason. You know, he said that Devontae Green is their most talented offensive player without question. And to me, Devontae Green is a very polarizing player when you look at his three-year career so far. He's had his moments where, like late in the last season, where he's able to carry a team and really play well, and he's also had times where whether it's been injuries, whether it's been suspensions, or whether it's just been some of the decisions that he makes on the court where you kind of scratch your head and said, you know, he should be better than this. So, you know, if Indiana's going to be relying on him as kind of their best offensive player, you know, they're going to need him to be the good Devontae Green more often than the bad Devontae Green. And I think Archie Miller, with what he said about him yesterday, is kind of setting that expectation. You know, he said that this is, in terms of mentally, this is the best spot that Devontae has been in since he's been at IU, and the expectation is that he has a really big season. I think one thing that Archie discussed, which I think will be a good thing for Devontae, is having the ball in his hands in terms of bringing the ball up the court and kind of trying to do things less often, and maybe having him more as an off-ball guy who can, you know, spot up and make shots and do things like that. But, you know, that's you know, there's just so many different things going into the season that I think are interesting. I mentioned the Jerome Hunter thing, and I think the fact that Indiana is going to be relying so heavily on a guy who has been so inconsistent throughout his career is just pretty interesting to see as the season tips off.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, our guest on this Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. I thought lots of interesting talk from maybe it was Devontae Green, and then I think Archie Miller was asked a similar question yesterday about the offense and what would it look like this season, which is a pretty standard question for a preseason media day press conference. But there was the word motion, I think, is maybe what Devontae Green used in his response, and I know it was phrased in the question to Archie Miller as well. What do you take from the comments both from Devontae and from Archie Miller about maybe changes from last year in IU's offensive style and how the ball could move?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just going to have to be more of a by-committee approach. I think there was last year, there was reason to play how they did, which was basically play through Jawan and Romeo. At times they were, in terms of talent, they're two best players by far, but I think it also kind of hurt some of the other players in a way, in that they didn't necessarily have defined roles, or they weren't necessarily comfortable on a, you know, a game in, game out basis of how, you know, how many shots, how many opportunities they were going to be getting. Now they have to have, you know, 5, 6, 7 guys who on a given night can go out and get them, you know, 12, 13, 14 points. That's just kind of have to be how it is to replace those guys. And, you know, you talk about movement. We talked about this a lot last season, you know, with Romeo and Jawan being so, you know, so featured in the offense. You know, it almost felt like at times that other guys were just standing around and letting those two kind of try to operate, and it made it easy to guard. And Archie basically said yesterday that we have to be a lot harder to deal with and guard. And I think if you have five guys on the court who are kind of, you know, interchangeable in terms of, you know, you don't know who they're going to every time down the court. I mean, last year it was pretty obvious how to stop IU, right? It was, the ball was either going to go into Jawan in the post, or Romeo was going to try to create something. Those were the first two options. This year, you know, it's not going to be that way. Now the question is going to be, can those guys who are on the court, are they going to be able to make plays consistently enough to kind of make up for that production that was lost? Because you knew pretty much on a game-in, game-out basis, you know, Romeo can just show up and get double figures. Jawan Morgan, most games, could show up and get 10, 12 points on the low end. They don't have those guys this year, so it's going to have to be, you know, Indiana's going to have to score more with its scheme and kind of with setting up guys to be the best versions of themselves. So I think that's what they were hinting at with the motion. I mean, you can't, there's no guy on this team that you can just rely on and say, hey, go get me 20. I mean, there's, that person just doesn't exist, where it existed with two guys last year. So it's going to be interesting to kind of see how different it looks. I think there's reasons to be optimistic. I think when you have a more balanced team, you have a chance to be more successful, but also you may have your moments where you don't have a guy you can go to, you know, on a given possession and go get you a bucket. And that's kind of the fallback that Indiana had with having Romeo and Juwan on the team last year. They just don't have that this year.
Is there any one player that you're looking at right now that could step up, should step up? Because if you listen to the coach, everybody's had a great year in the weight room, and I don't know exactly what that means, but they've done great things, and they've worked hard on their game. And you could almost take the same comments and plug them in to almost any D1 school in the country. They'd be pretty similar. So, but is there a player that, as you look at that roster, you say, I think this could be the year that he breaks out, whoever it might be?
Yeah, I mean, he was on his way to doing it last year before he got hurt. I would say Rob Dennessy, to me, is the most important player on this team. He plays the most important position, the point guard position. I think he was very good at times last year. And then when he got hurt, it really changed the course of Indiana's season. They didn't have that steady presence on the court. And it wasn't until the last part of the season where he really kind of got back to being comfortable on the court. You could just tell when he came back, there was lingering effects from missing that time. There was, I don't think his confidence was I think after the Butler game when he hit that shot, I think his confidence was really high in that. I think a lot of us at that point thought he was, probably Indiana's third best player and was going to kind of propel them into Big Ten play, and then he gets hurt, and it really changes the season. I think he's the guy who has to be steady all season long. I'm not saying he has to go out and score 15, but I think he needs to, take care of the ball, make other guys better, and defend at the level that he did early in the season. You look at some of Indiana's best wins last year, Marquette game, he shut down Marcus Howard. Later in the season when they beat Michigan State, he was all over Cassius Winston. I think he can, he can affect games from that standpoint on the defensive end. But I think to me he's far and away Indiana's most important player. And I'm not sure I would call him a breakout candidate because he's already proven that he can do it. He just has to stay healthy and kind of be that steady presence and leader on the court for Indiana to kind of reach its potential this year.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. Our guest Alex is with us always on Thursdays as we talk IU basketball. One of the hottest topics right now with this Indiana team, thanks in part to Media Day and also a statement that was put out by Indiana on Tuesday, is Jerome Hunter. And obviously fans wanting to know, he came into IU as somebody that was hopeful to contribute as a freshman. A pretty severe health issue with his lower leg kept him out of all the games last year. And some people even begin to wonder, would he play again? How long would it be? And, of course, it's hard to discuss those things when you truly don't know the details of his injury that obviously was very serious. Indiana did put a statement out after seeing him in the summer and some of the workout videos, and obviously that he's mobile again. He's working on the game again in some form or fashion. But IU put out a statement again earlier this week, or put out a statement, I should say, earlier this week that he is cleared for basketball activities. And so I know it's easy to take that and run with it that, oh my gosh, maybe Indiana's second best recruit in the 2018 class behind Romeo, who had some great praise coming in as a freshman, is going to be able to make a big difference with this team. And then the flip side of that is, hey, he hasn't played for a year. He had a severe injury. He's still being monitored by IU sports medicine personnel, and they're obviously going to take this slow and, key word here, very, very safe. What do you make of the announcement that Jerome has been cleared for basketball activities? And do you think if he's going to contribute to this team, will it be a slow re-entry maybe into games and to minutes and things like that in the actual game?
Yeah, I mean, I think that has to be the approach. I think it would be short-sighted and quite frankly, just kind of reckless to throw him in and say, hey, you're going to play 25, 30 minutes from day one. I just don't think that's in the cards for this team or for him. I mean, I know there's expectations for what he could become, but I think people are going to have to be patient because, this isn't just a sprained ankle. This is something that kept him out the entire season. He did not play competitive basketball for the better part of a year. So It's going to take a. There's going to be a learning curve for him. He's going to have to get adjusted to his teammates. These guys aren't used to playing with him in many competitive situations. So I think the potential is there for him to be a very good player if he can stay healthy. But I think cautiously optimistic would be the best way to kind of put what expectations should be for him. I think everyone should be excited for him getting that opportunity to hopefully play again this season, but also realize the seriousness of the situation that he went through. This is not, a common basketball injury, even though we don't know the details. Usually when a guy tears his ACL, they'll tell us that he tears his ACL, but this was an injury that required surgery at the Cleveland Clinic, which is just a different beast. And so I think it's people have to be patient with him, and there's going to be times when I feel like he's going to look like the Jerome Hunter that we saw in high school. And I think there's going to be times where it shows that he hadn't played for a year. So I think the hope for IU has to be that by the time, Big Ten rolls around, that he's comfortable and able to maybe expand his role a little bit. But I think they're going to be very cautious and slow with him early in the season.
Alex, every week we talk about recruiting. In some facet, some way we get it into the conversation. But there was an article on the Athletic website this morning, and it was talking about, it goes back to 2014, Shabazz Napier of UConn talking about going to bed hungry at night because of the way the rules read for NCAA athletes and what they were allowed to be given for food. And it went on to talk about, it was primarily about football, but I'm sure includes basketball as well. We talk about the facilities and the weight room and the practice facilities and all these different things. One thing I didn't even think about would have been the food situation. And it was talking about Iowa spending like $3 million a year feeding their football team and all of the different facilities they have. I didn't even realize that when the player comes in for a recruiting visit, he might be looking at the facilities, where they eat, what they're given to eat, what kind of choices they have. Just completely blew me away. Never thought about it.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to look at that, but yeah, that's definitely a thing. Probably a little bit more so in football than I think the guys would look at, but it's definitely, I think, one thing that behind the scenes that I think IU's made some big improvements in the last a couple of years, particularly since Archie Miller has taken over, just in terms of having a better setup for that and getting guys fed. I mean, you think about probably how many calories those guys are eating a day, and not only do you want to get them fed, you want to have them eating as healthy and as lean as possible. And I think that's obviously been something that Cliff Marshall is very focused on. I remember when he first took over, there was a couple tweets of him kind of just taking guys grocery shopping and teaching them the right things and the wrong things to eat. But, I haven't had a chance to really see that article yet. I'll definitely go check it out. But that's definitely one thing that most people probably don't think about, the amount of work and that goes into being a high-level college athlete. We don't necessarily see all the things that go on behind the scenes, but that's definitely probably something that's talked about and looked at a lot, particularly now in recruiting. That could be something that kind of pushes things in favor of one school, if they have a better setup or something like that. So that's definitely interesting to hear.
When you think about recruiting these days, and Lee and I were talking about this before the show, I'm sure that IU having Assembly Hall, a storied place, a historical place, to play is a big deal for players to see, and the coaches can explain it to them and show them photos, or maybe they come for a visit during a game and can see it up close and personal themselves. But it's amazing nowadays with recruiting. It's no longer, about just the school itself, the campus itself, and the location where you play, and maybe what the fans are like, and how good the team's going to be, and can you win a national championship, or do they need your position? It's about things like practice facilities and workout facilities. I mean, how many times, just even hearing the players talk earlier this week, Trace Jackson Davis comes to mind talking about the gains he's made thanks to IU's great facilities that Cliff Marshall is able to instruct and use to lead these kids on from that aspect. But so much of recruiting now, when you hear so-and-so's taking an official visit this coming weekend. We kind of have in our minds, at least I always have, what a recruiting a visit, an official visit was allowed on that weekend, and probably some of the activities, meeting with advisors and showing the campus and taking them to a football game so they can get a feel of the campus and some of those types of things. But recruiting is so much more than that nowadays, even getting into the nitty-gritty details like food and food service and other hospitalities available to players or athletes in that team or that whole athletic program. It's really amazing what maybe 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, players were choosing schools based off of. Now all the different things that enter the fold, it's just amazing to think where this has all went and how far it's come as far as the details and some of the lavish things in many ways that are offered to players.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one thing that Fred Glass deserves a lot of credit for in terms of his tenure at IU as athletic director. You look at campus, you drive up there now and there's buildings popping up everywhere, and a lot of them are athletics related, whether that's the new volleyball facility, whether that's what they've done with the baseball complex, the softball, the football stadium, the renovation of Assembly Hall. All of these things have been done, definitely some of it from a fan experience perspective, but a lot of it is to attract athletes and you know, people to come to IU, and there's been a lot done. I think it's constant, though. It's an arms race, because I remember when IU built Cook Hall, it was, lauded as one of the, top three or four practice facilities in college basketball, and now that it's been open for, 7, 8, 9 years, you can probably go around the Big Ten and find 2 or 3, 4, I don't know how many practice facilities that have been open since that are nicer, and so it's a constant thing where you're trying to differentiate yourself, and the schools that do the best job in terms of having the best facilities, the best support staff, in many ways, those small details can give them an edge when it comes to recruiting. And like I said, I'll give Fred Glass a lot of credit. I think he's done a ton to improve the athlete experience at IU, but it's a constant thing. But you're never finished. It's always, what can we do next? Because if you're not going to do it, then Michigan State's going to do it, or Michigan, or whoever it is. I mean, Nebraska's got one of the best basketball facilities in the league now. So, if you're not in a mode of constantly improving, then you're going to get left behind.
Yeah, no question. Alex Bozich inside the hole. Great stuff. Alex, always great to catch up. You can find lots of coverage from IU Media Days with the players on Tuesday, Archie Miller on Wednesday at InsideTheHall.com, and at InsideTheHall on Twitter is how you can follow Alex and his team. Alex, thank you. We'll talk again next week, and always look forward to it.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you.
All right, Alex Bozich with us. And, Lee, one other thing. We had kind of an abbreviated headline segment today, but I'm sure IU fans know, and I mentioned it, Blue Ribbon College Basketball Yearbook, which to me is like a Bible for the upcoming season. Really cool publication. They have Indiana picked to finish 10th in the Big Ten Conference. So another projection out, and this is obviously going to be very standard. Maybe there'll be an outlier or somebody that will have the Hoosiers middle of the pack or maybe just below middle of the pack, but obviously another one out. 10th by Blue Ribbon, 9th by Athlon, 10th by Lindy's, 11th was the worst finish projected by Street and Smith's as well. They picked Michigan State to win the Big Ten, followed by Maryland, Purdue, Ohio State, and Michigan. That's their glance at the top of the conference. And in their preseason top 25, they have Michigan State as number one in the country, Maryland number 7, Purdue number 22, and Ohio State number 24. Cassius Winston, a preseason first-team All-America pick by the publication. And let's see, I don't think they had, as far as freshman newcomer, I don't think they had Trace Jackson Davis listed either. So really not a lot of mention of Indiana outside of their projection of them to be 10th in the conference.
Yeah, and I like being the underdog, so that would be a motivational factor. Between last year's finish and this year's publications listing you there, that would be right up my alley, more motivation. But realistically, if I'm a writer of a national publication, I'd probably put them down there as well. You know, you lost your leading two scorers, the two guys you could count on to get off a shot when you needed it. Injuries to Hunter, and nobody knows anything about Hunter. They've never seen him on a college floor. So when you look at it, that's probably the smart way to approach it. I think Indiana will do better than that, but I don't know if that's wishful thinking or intelligence on my part, so we'll wait and see what happens.
Absolutely. Lee Kelly, Matt Dennison with you here on this Thursday program. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to spend the rest of the show replaying some snippets of Archie Miller's press conference from IU Basketball Media Day yesterday in Bloomington. We'll start with the opening statement and give you some of the early questions in that press conference. Again, we don't hear from Coach Miller a lot. He did speak an extra engagement that we got to hear from, whether you were there or we got to have video of it down in Evansville in the speaking series at Evansville Harrison High School. But so on the podium for like 26 and a half minutes, that's a lot of time. Of course, questions and things, but a lot learned, a lot spoke about, a lot discussed here in this preseason from Archie Miller, and we'll have some of the highlights from you coming up for you coming up next here on this Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And back with you on this Thursday program. Lee Kelly is with me, but in this segment, we're going to play back, starting with Archie Miller's opening statement yesterday, some of the audio from his press conference. This was IU Basketball Media Day, done a little differently this year. I did not go up this year. Obviously arranged to get audio from the event, but normally it's all been in one day. You go up and there's coaches first or players first, followed by coaches, and then the opportunity to go out while the team's taking their official photo for the upcoming year. You can take some photos if you're, you know, a print publication, a newspaper, and then often it's a little breakout even further with some other players on the court, either at Assembly Hall or in the practice facility. But a little different this year. Obviously nothing said about it, but you wonder if it's because of recruiting, if Archie Miller was someplace Tuesday that was important for him to watch or to see something, which made them split it in half. But nonetheless, the media days are a great opportunity to hear from the players and to hear from Coach Miller. I was a little disappointed. Mike Roberts, the new assistant coach, was scheduled to speak on the initial schedule they sent out, and then he was unable to do so. So you got to believe he was likely out of town recruiting as well, getting moving in the IU recruiting picture for sure. But good stuff heading into the season. And, of course, after this, then you've got Big Ten football or basketball media day in Rosemont, Illinois, just outside of Chicago to look forward to. And that's where you get a real taste at the whole conference, which I think this year will be especially interesting. Let's start with Coach Miller's opening statement. And it's kind of echoey, I know, and if I need to come over top and let you know what's going on, I will. But obviously you know who Archie Miller is when he speaks. You should be able to hear most of the questions, and we're going to play some of those for you coming up here now, starting with the opening statement.
All right. Welcome back to another start here of college basketball season. It's always an exciting time. I think for our basketball program in general, we're anxious to get kicked off. It's been a long preseason. It's been a good preseason. Hopefully we'll finish up here in the next 5 to 7 days. But it's been, uneventful, so to speak, which is very rare as you start the fall term, where you don't have a lot of, you know, hiccups, ups and downs, learning each other. I think our older guys have been very calm. They've been very good with their leadership on and off the floor. And I think our newcomers, two true freshmen and Joey Brunk, those three guys, man, they fit in seamlessly. They've been a pleasant surprise, not only from the summertime, but also as we've started school here. And number one, how much they're embracing the challenge of joining the group, and also the embracing the challenge of, you know, striving to be the better players on our team, you know, better leaders. They're not waiting around to learn. So it's been a good group. And like I said, our staff, we've worked very, very hard to get to this point in terms of the off season and planning. And we're excited to get started like everybody.
Okay, first question.
Coach, you, I think, spoke at Evansville about wanting to get more motion in your offense. Is that a reflection on what you saw from your team last year, trying to get a little bit more off the ball, kind of movement, a little less stagnation?
Well, I think, you know, each team is different. Every season, you have to play to your strengths. You know, this team in general, and looking at the parts that we have and how we're going to have to be built, we're going to have to be, you know, much more difficult to deal with, which has to have a lot more randomness into what we do. We have to utilize our versatility with them guys that can play multiple positions together, and we're going to have to move that ball. And to do that, you're going to have a lot of concepts and action, you know, to the way that you play. And I'm excited to coach this team in that regard, that we do have a lot of different guys, I think, that can play together that, you know, may look the same and do some things differently. But there's some versatility, there's some interchangeable parts, and I think that's going to be the, you know, the quest for this team is to, by far and away offensively, is to have more movement, definitely have more ball movement, and play more people. And to do that, I think you definitely have to, you know, spend more time on the concepts and guys playing the game together rather than just a play or two or a guy or two. You know, it's going to be much more of a by-committee team on both ends of the floor, but from an offensive perspective, how we generate offense, how we score, how we're efficient is going to be through the bulk of the parts, not one guy.
Go ahead.
Oh, me. RG, you talked about building chemistry, having a better chemistry than maybe you had last year. How do you build it? How does that just kind of happen organically, or are there things that you can do as a head coach to move that process forward?
Well, I think you're always on a quest as you guide a team, whether you're on the team or whether you're on a staff or you're the head coach. You're constantly trying to put people in situations where they learn one another better, they spend more time together, there's more communication and working together. I think, you know, for me, and learning how things go, especially with young people these days, you know, they can very much, you know, stay in their own lane, stay on their own phone. You know, you name the, you know, the setting, you know, with young people these days, they very literally, they don't talk as much as they used to. So we're trying to put our guys in situations where it forces them to obviously communicate, you know, be more active with one another always. But I think the one thing that's unique as you get older, as you have more familiarity with each other, you have more closeness. You know, you're not as new. You know, last year's team had 5 true freshmen and 1 transfer, 6 new bodies. You know, this team has 2 true freshmen and 1 new guy. You know, those older guys are all back. You know, they're more familiar with one another. They're more familiar with the routine. They're more able to communicate, you know, what to do, when to do it, how to do it. So there's definitely been some step up in that regard. I definitely think our team understands that from a staff perspective, you know, that there's a lot of pressure on us, you know, as a group of people to really come together. And, you know, to do that, I think definitely it's been more talking, more communicating, and more situations where we're forcing them to be sort of the driving force behind that. Because we do have a group of guys that, you know, naturally are kind of quiet nature. I think that's where Joey has been a great boost with his voice. His personality has really helped our workouts. He's helped our locker room. The younger guys will get a year under their belt and change. You know, Robert's done a really nice job in our workouts. He's taken a concerted effort to communicate better, to talk better, not be quiet. So, you know, I think, you know, just in general, you know, I think familiarity with each other, getting a little bit older with your younger guys, and then, you know, having some influx of some new energy, a guy like Joey can really help the cause as well.
Alex.
Now that you've had a chance to go through the summer and some preseason stuff with the new guys, how do you envision Trace, Duran, and Joey being able to fit together? And do you foresee lineups where two of those guys can be on the floor at the same time?
You know, that's the old school, you know, lineup right there. That's the big ball, traditional, you know, two bigs. Can it happen? Absolutely. In my opinion, and how these guys find that niche will be their ability to defend together. That's obviously the hardest part for two bigs on the floor. It's not offense. You can run a lot of different types of offense, especially when you have some guys who can score the ball down low. But could they play together and defend a team who doesn't play tradition with bigs? That'll be, you know, the quest. Can those guys exist on that end of the floor a little bit? And very, very hopeful. Very, very hopeful with Trace. His lateral mobility, his athleticism, and watching him here early as the season goes, he knows he has to defend on the perimeter. He's going to have to do that to be able to play with other guys. And, you know, he's going to have to learn early and probably go through some hard times, getting used to guarding college actions and scouting and whatnot. But for the betterment of him and our team, you know, that's one thing I think that we're all hopeful for, is he can, you know, take that role as a guy who can defend inside and out a little bit, because he's not a prototype typical big. He's very mobile. He's very athletic. He's got great endurance for a young player. He's just going to have to get some experience under his belt.
Zach?
Kind of going back to talking about chemistry, talking about communication, how important is Rob? I mean, you put a lot on his shoulders last year as a freshman point guard, and it seemed like he stepped up a lot of the time, but maybe now asking for some of those intangible pieces to really come out, how important is he going to be for you?
Huge. You know, Robert plays a big role. I think he saw our team last year at times when Rob, you know, was playing effectively, he's healthy. He's a gamer. But with that gamer, you know, as you get a little older, it's not about, there's no surprises anymore. You know, you're expected to do it. And I think he knows that from my standpoint, as he looks at me, what I expect of him. And as the head coach, I look at our point guards in a very different manner than I do all other positions. I think it's the most important position on the team. It's the quarterback. And it starts with Rob, you know, on the defensive end. You know, he triggers us in a lot of ways in terms of his on-ball pressure and how he can establish, you know, our defense in the half court. You know, offensively, you know, playing the floor game that he needs to play. He's traditionally a pretty safe guy, which he does a good job there. And, you know, getting more confident, you know, offensively with his shot. But the biggest thing is probably what you said earlier, is to have an extension of your staff a little bit in terms of what you expect. And he knows that now. He's been through it over a year. And like you said, he has had a lot of experience under his belt. He's been through a lot in his 1 year. And he's more prepared to handle the communication part of it. And he knows that that's a big part of, you know, his job.
All right, again, Archie Miller, lots of comments about the upcoming season. Those were from yesterday afternoon in Bloomington at the IU Media Day. Split into 2 days this year. Archie went yesterday, the players the day before. But really interesting stuff and good stuff to get you excited about the upcoming season. That's going to wrap things up. My thanks to Lee Kelly, who's with me always on Thursdays. He'll be back with me Friday night for our football coverage, and I'll be back with you tomorrow at 11. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.